from the first book of Samuel, chapter 8, at verse 4, Israel asks for a king. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plough his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we shall be like all the other nations, with the king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." Amen.
Second reading is from Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first part of the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in church Christ in Colossae, grace and peace to you from our God our Father. We always thank God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from hope that is stored up for you in heaven, that you have already heard about in the words of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned from Euphrates, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and have also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live in a life worthy of the Lord, and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every kind and every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may, having great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Two different readings. I started out not with any reading at all. I started out looking at Advent. Do you know it's Advent Sunday next time? 1st of December, Advent starts. Have you noticed what's in the shops?
Crossbones.
Hot crossbones. Well, not quite, but you are right, there have been some hot crossbones. I saw them in October at a bakery. They didn't call them hot cross buns, they called them spice buns, but with a cross on it. Advent. Have you looked at what's being advertised for Advent? All the things to do with Advent calendars. You'll be amazed when you look online at what is being advertised. And I'll speak about an Advent calendar a bit later on. So I thought I'll look up what Advent is. Well, it's another feast and festival for Christians. How many of you have started your Advent fast? Eight, Advent fast? What's that? Thinking these should be doing. Well, Advent started about 567. There may have been some earlier, but it first really lived about 567. And a bit later on, the monks took it up. It's a 40-day fast. Not just 24 days when you open the calendar and turn it up. You've got another 16 days in front of you, so you're late in starting. But I looked at it and I thought, this is nearly something modern. When I started going into the details of what the monks did, they fasted and they had a light, very light meal, like Muslims, after dark. Which is not too bad at this time of the year, but it gets darker. But the point being is, what did they do with the food they didn't eat? Any ideas? They took it to the food bank. Yeah, we think food bank is a modern idiom. It took it to the poorhouses and it was distributed from there to those that were hungry. There were differences in the people around them. They shared what they had. And that's where I started out looking at these two readings. People, they were different from those around about them. Our first reading is Samuel. How many of you know it by heart? No. Let's go back a bit. Israel came from the family of Jacob, the 12 sons that he had. Well, 13 tribes in actual fact. We always talk about the 12 tribes of Israel. But Joseph had two sons, and they split into two halves. So there were 13 tribes, really. They had come out of Egypt, up into the Promised Land. They had survived there for quite some time, ruled under judges and priests, prophets, like Samuel. But they looked with envy around about them. If you've looked at the Advent calendars, you might be a bit envious of some of them that are there. One I came across had 24 windows with a different whiskey in each one. So, 24 whiskies. Valued at about £90. There was one I found that's produced in Italy, no, in France, which has 24 windows with 24 different cheeses in it. At £14.99. A little bit nearer. But the one I'll save up for you a little bit later on is a little different to that. So they wanted a king. They wanted to be like everybody else. Isn't it the modern idiom today? Everybody wants to look like everybody else, to be the same. They want the same clothes. I know I've wandered around a few shops in the last 2 or 3 months with Barbara looking at trousers. You go from one shop to the next shop, they are slim fit, short, narrow. They're not designed for ladies, they're designed, I think, for mannequins to hang on. Everybody today now wants to have the same selfies. They want as many friends as they could, so they can create a large following. Half of them, I don't think they know who their friends are, all these friends that are on there that they've got. I think not so long ago, my granddaughter had 2,500 followers. She said they were friends. I said, are you sure? I said, how many of them can you name? 12. Four of them were her own family. The other 8 were ones that she'd been to school with. But here's Israel. They want to be the same. They're looking at the tribes that are around about them. They're still really a tribal people. They want to be the same as everybody else. And so they go to Samuel and they ask him, Samuel, can you ask God if we can have a king? Somebody who will guide and rule us and who will be our leader. So Samuel talks to God, as we had in our reading. And God warns them what's going to happen. If you start to be like the others, you will lose out your independence that each of you has. You're each able to decide what you want, where you're going. And isn't that a bit like today? People have lost their independence to be independent. They want to look the same, they want to act the same, they want to go to the same places. But is that what we want in life? Is that where we want to go? We want to be exactly the same as everybody else. I looked around the church this morning. I couldn't see anybody who looked or dressed exactly the same as anybody else. And yet you go into places and cinemas and shopping centres and you pass one person who looks like this, and you get farther up, you pass another person who looks the same. They want to be the same. But did God make us like that? Did he make us the same? When he allowed us freedom, he allowed us to be individuals, didn't he? To be different. And as I tell you, I was looking at the Advent calendars. I can remember, and I can't remember at the moment, whether in the box in the garage there is still the Advent calendar we had when the kids were smaller. Okay. I think it's at the bottom, isn't it? Mm-hmm. 12 windows. Open the picture up. 24, sorry. That's not good tonight. 24 windows. Open them up slowly and you reveal the picture of Christmas. Last window, baby Christ in the crib. And I can remember that was where it used to be. But now, the Advent is taken over by commerce. They all want the most brightest and shiniest that there is going. How many have placed their order with Harrods on the 9th of November for the Harrods one only Advent calendar? It's made by Tiffany's. It stands 4 foot tall. It opens up at the front, looks like a house. Natural fact, it's not a house, it's their original shop. And inside are 24 little drawers with nice little trinkets.
A price, anybody?
The cheapest item, I think, is £150, and they go up. And I forgot to look the price up. I think, what the total, is it £13,004 for this Advent calendar? And in America, they've sold out. I don't know how many they made, but they've sold out. They want the best. They want to shine out with the going. And commercialism is trying to do that with our Christmas. Our Christmas is the birth of Christ. And you look at it, this Advent calendar has nothing to do with Christ on it. Not at all. The only thing it is that the kings did bring gifts to the young child. But gifts in this are not. Israel wanted to be like everybody else. They want to buy into it, everything that there was there. They wanted the king to defend them. They wanted a powerhouse. They wanted it there. They had the greatest powerhouse that ever was. God himself was their king, their Lord, their saviour. But they couldn't see it. So what's that got to do with us? Well, as I sat down, that was the one, I looked at Adam, that's what came. God said to me, just that. They wanted to be the same as everybody else. But Paul rejoices here in the reading in Colossians. And I don't know why Colossians came. I sat there thinking and about it. And Bible opened and Colossians. I looked at it. But here is God with the offer of life. Life eternal. Not life the same as everybody else, but life for you, for me, for the future. We aren't the same as everybody else. We don't want to be the same as everybody else. But we have something, a gift that is greater than anything in this Advent calendar to offer. Who's actually got their Advent calendars for this year? You've got them already. Are the kids excited about ready to open them up and find out? Are they got little boxes in, so they've got little secret presents in? I know, I can do remember when I was a child, we did have one once. Between three of us that had it in. So it's every third day we got little trees out to it. Which complained, but who got the first one? Mm-hmm. I decided it was going to be in order of age. So Benton, my brother, got the last one just before on Christmas Eve. But God is offering us gifts greater than any Advent calendar could go there. He's offering us life. As Paul says to the Colossians. Whoops. I've lost you. He's offering us strength. He's offering endurance and patience in life. He's giving us an inheritance which is not available anywhere else. It's not available on Amazon, it's not available on eBay, it's not available in the shops here. But it's life eternal. It's a life in Christ. Christ who died upon the cross that is behind us, so that we could be reconciled back. Adam had it right at the very beginning of creation. He walked with God in that garden, and that offer is there for us today. Does he walk with you? I know he walks with me because he gives me nudges and some times that shake me up. My problem is, he got the path that's going up there, and my path goes a bit wonky and out here and there. At times it seems like I want to be like everybody else, but thank goodness I've learned not to be. I've learned to accept what God offers me. He offers me strength. He offers me endurance for when the times are difficult, and he offers me a life eternal. So do we want to be like the Israelites and want a king that is like everybody else's king, that's going to gather them in, cause them to be subservient to him, take them off to war, cause them to be there, or are we serving a king? Rachel gave us the answer with half of what she put in the songs. I didn't even spoke, did I? It's because she put it there. It's there. And having looked at what we've got coming up, I didn't even spoken. Because the words we've got for the songs tell the story. We're not like everybody else. But those out there don't realise that that prize and that way is open for us. So what is our thing to do? Be like Paul has said, he gives thanks that the church in Colossus has heard the word and they are growing. But somebody has taken the word to them. Because we're not the same. That's our chance. That's our challenge. We've got Butt Across the Bethlehem coming up. What a chance. And no doubt most of you will be in the car after the cast or in the singing or that. But others of us that are standing around, just talk to people. I'm disappointed at the moment when I work with Ruth. She's not producing any of those nice little leaflets. Just shoved through the door with an invite. Might invite you to come to this, or a Gail, or Colleen, or whatever. Just shove through that. Come down and see the true story of Christmas, because it's been forgotten by many people. And it's our chance to introduce them to a king that doesn't enslave them, doesn't demand their taxes, demands one thing only: their life. To love his son and follow his ways. So when I looked at Advent, I looked at what the early monks did. They served a time of worship, they sacrificed their food and gave it to others to be able to show that the life of Christ is this life of service. to others. To us, Christmas is a celebration that we have a Saviour that came as a baby, died, and reunited us with the Father. We're not the same. We are God's people. Not like the world. I spent time somewhere, and I can't find it. Have you had that problem? Or you think of a quotation from the Bible, and then you can't find it.
Google.
Google didn't even bring these up. I didn't read a Bible one that did this. And the nearest one I got to it was one from, hang on, from another page. John 15. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. We are not of the world, but we are in the world to serve our Lord and Savior.